Hello, everybody. Welcome to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. With Bob Christopher and Andrew Farley, I'm Bob Davis, and if it's the first half of the 3 o'clock Central Time Hour, you're hearing our live broadcast, and we would love for you to be a part of it. The toll-free number for you to do just that is 844-322-2742. That's good in the U.S. and in Canada, 844-322-2742. It's Basic Gospel, everybody, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. Andrew, welcome to the broadcast. Certainly yes, always good to have you on our Wednesday edition, so welcome, yeah. My friend.
Well, thank you, Bob. Great to be with you guys.
Yeah. Well, today and this month, we're talking about, being a voice, just taking up our role in the body of Christ. We were saved individually, but then we were baptized or placed into the body of Christ, and we've been gifted. Every one of us has been gifted by the Holy Spirit. We not all have the same gift. We have different gifts, and we use those to serve the body at large, so the body can carry out its function out here in the world. And so we're going to talk about that, how we take up our role. In our newsletter that we sent out this month, we highlighted a couple of individuals, a pastor up in Indianapolis who finally came to grips with the fact that his role as a pastor was simply to testify to the good news of God's grace. And he started doing that a couple of years ago, and it's just changed the whole dynamic of the church and the body of believers that worship together there. And it's an exciting, dynamic group of people. And then we talked about another gentleman in St. Louis who several years ago just simply started praying, "Lord, use me." And just to see how God has answered that prayer, has connected him to so many people across this country via phone and email. And he's just been able to use his gift of encouragement to build up others in their faith in Jesus Christ. And it's so exciting to see that. And I tweeted yesterday that, freedom, and that's what we've been called to, freedom. And that freedom rings loudest when we, through love, serve one another. And I just ended that with a hashtag, let freedom ring. Yeah. I think we as believers have a unique position in this world to really, model what real freedom is all about, don't we, Andrew?
Yeah, and the idea of, hey, we better love each other, we have to love each other, we have to serve each other, let's all, we're forced to, that sort of service is not heart-driven, it's not heartfelt, it's not genuine. So I love how in this passage here in Galatians 5, verse 13, he talks about freedom, and he says, in the midst of this freedom, serve one another. And so it's not a have to, but it's in an environment of liberty. We just got done celebrating 4th of July. We're looking at the liberty that our nation enjoys because of those who fought for it. And Jesus Christ, through the cross and the resurrection, fought for our liberty. And that's the freedom Paul is talking about here. So, you're free from fear. You're free from obligation. You're free from guilt. And in the midst of that liberty and celebrating it as the fireworks go off, spiritually speaking, we can choose to love each other. And then it's really heart-driven and heartfelt. And that genuineness, that is going to be sensed by other people versus the whole legalism service thing where, you're doing it grudgingly, you're doing it because you have to. There's just a world of difference in the motivation when we're serving in an atmosphere of liberty.
Yes, indeed. And let's talk a little bit about that, Andrew, because the passage here says that, don't use your freedom to indulge the flesh.
Yeah.
So if you're free, to do that, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
But we don't want to go there. We don't want to really define freedom in those terms. We want to say, oh, no, you can't do that. And we just drive it back to the legalistic mindset.
Yeah.
But we're free.
Yeah. Yeah, we really are free. There's an illusion there, though, Bob, when we tell people, let's say that we were to word it a little bit differently than the Bible words it. Let's say we were to tell people, hey, you've got freedom to sin. Well, that's a little bit of an oxymoron, if not a big one, because there's not much freedom in sin. There's no freedom there. I mean, sin is bondage. So You know, it's interesting. We're forgiven no matter what. We're accepted no matter what. Lightning is not going to strike the moment we commit a sin. God has allowed it to go on for thousands of years. But there is zero freedom in sin. We're only going to enjoy the freedom as we express Christ. And so that's the paradox. It's a bit, you know, it's interesting. It's not that God is saying sin is wonderful, but you better not do it. That's a really immature view of sin. Sin is not wonderful. Sin will get you, it will get you nowhere. So anyway, it's interesting as we look at our freedom, it's really freedom from sin, and it's really freedom to enjoy Christ, and it's really freedom to express the fruit of the Spirit. And that's where the freedom is actually enjoyed, and that's where we find fulfillment.
Yeah, I was thinking about, you know, if somebody is released from jail, they've lived their lives in a jail cell just within a small little cubicle with bars on it, and, you know, have never been able to get out of that jail cell until somebody sets them free. They open up that door and they go out.
Yeah.
And, you know, oftentimes they will freely return to that jail cell because they don't know how to experience their freedom outside of that jail cell.
Yeah.
And so often we do the same thing as believers. Christ has called us to freedom, and we've got all of these open spaces, and yet we freely walk back into the jail cell of sin and death. Now, you know, they can shut the door, but in Christ there's no lock. We're free to open that door and walk out at any time. But yet somebody that is choosing to indulge the flesh, what they're saying is, I'm freely choosing to walk into that jail cell and to put myself in bondage to that little place.
Yeah.
And it doesn't sound very good, does it?
No, it's a beautiful image, though, for us to recognize what we're doing. It reminds me of the film The Shawshank Redemption, where this elderly gentleman had been in prison all his life, and eventually he was released. He couldn't believe it. He was released, and yet he was so uncomfortable without the rules and regulations of the prison. He didn't know when to eat. He didn't know when to sleep. He didn't know when he had free time, so to speak. And so, you know, it drove him mad. It drove him crazy in the end. It's interesting how much we resist the freedom, but the freedom is the motivator. And that's what Christians, that's what we really need to drive home, is that the freedom means God loves us, and the freedom means there's no strings attached, and the freedom is the motivator. That's the beauty of grace.
Yes, indeed.
It's Basic Gospel, everybody. Andrew Farley joining Bob Christopher and me, and thank you for joining us. We have open lines if you're hearing the broadcast during the first half of the 3 o'clock Central Time hour. Give us a call at 844-322-2742. We'd love for you to join the conversation right now. Again, 844-322-2742. And for those of you who are excited about your life in Jesus Christ and want to learn how to share the good news, we have a multi-CD series that will teach you basically how to share your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's called Be a Voice, and it will reveal the power you need to live out who you are in Christ. And with your gift to Basic Gospel during July, we'll send you a copy of this empowering series. Just go online to basicgospel.net and click Be a Voice as it rolls through the scroll through there. Be a Voice at basicgospel.net or phone your gift to 844-322-2742. Make your donation today, friends, and learn how you can be a voice for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Again, basicgospel.net or at 844-322-2742. Well, guys, a very penetrating question from Carol, who wrote to us from New Jersey. She asked, I am walking a fine line, and now it's time to step into the issue of the spirit versus the flesh. Please give me insight to take the final step to serve the Lord Jesus.
Well, Bob, you know, this is an interesting question because we want to make sure we're doing it right. And, you know, what I hear in Carol's question is she wants to honor the Lord Jesus. She wants to make sure that she's walking by the Spirit. And, you know, that's the theme we're seeing in Galatians 5 as we talk about it this month. And I guess my thoughts at the outset here are that we do know what the Spirit is up to. I mean, the fruit of the Spirit is evident. It's things like love and patience and kindness and self-control. And then the deeds of the flesh, it says, are obvious. That's the language used. So what I love is that everything is pretty plain and obvious. Like, God is real big. He's going to let you know. I mean, he lives in you, and he's your guide. He's your counselor. He's your comforter. He is your teacher. He is going to let you know, plain and simple, things are going to be obvious, not difficult. So what I would say to Carol is sometimes grace folks can even get themselves under a little bit of grace laws, if you will, like thou shalt walk by the Spirit. Thou shalt never mess up. Thou shalt examine every motive. Thou shalt, you know, walk carefully, walk very, very carefully. And it reminds me of, you know, dribbling down the basketball court and picking up the ball every 20 seconds and saying to the ref, did I foul? Did I foul? And really, you know, we're meant to play the game. We got to dribble down the court, take some shots. We might fall, skin our knees, learn from it, get back up, keep playing. And all I'm saying is, with God being so big and with the fruit of the Spirit being so plain and obvious, we can go ahead and play the game and trust Jesus. And if he needs to let us know about something, he's certainly powerful enough to do that. And it will be plain and obvious. All we have to do is listen. And if we're sincerely seeking what Jesus is about in a certain situation, it will be so plain, so obvious. And that's important to realize.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Hey, Andrew, do you think sometimes folks sometimes think they're not even on the court? You know, it's kind of that idea of, am I in the flesh or am I in the Spirit? And they're always trying to determine which one is which. You know, am I in the flesh right now or am I in the Spirit? And fact of the matter, God has put us on the court. We're in the Spirit. We'll never be out of the Spirit.
Yes.
And that's such a freeing truth. And, and it relaxes you. It's like, well, wait a minute. God's already put me exactly where he wants me to be.
Yeah.
And he's already shared his life with me. So let's make this thing simple and just learn to trust and leave the results in God's hands.
Yeah.
You know, something about that, Bob, I think you raised a really important point, and it's just in that simple word in. You know, you said we're always in. And that's so true. I mean, we need to know that walking doesn't make you in. The walking here in Galatians 5, it doesn't say walk in. It actually says walk by or walk according to. So you're already in the Spirit. In fact, that's the whole logic behind it. God is saying, hey, Christian, hey, child of mine, because you are in the Spirit, it makes all the sense in the world to walk by the Spirit. So we've got to know we're in. We're in always. We're in every day. We're in 24/7 without interruption. And that's why it makes all the sense in the world to walk by the same person that we are in.
Yeah.
Yes, indeed.
That's good stuff, guys.
Yes.
Thank you.
Well, we have an interesting Facebook question, and thanks to all who are tuned in through Facebook Live and also YouTube Live. It's a wonderful way to interact with the broadcast. And Tim wrote this, said, hey, guys, can you address the idea of inclusionism? Is this different from universalism? And Andrew, you and I were just chatting about this right before the broadcast, and it's not a new theological concept, but it's something that seems to be circling out there in a lot of different groups. So fill us in. What is the idea of inclusionism? Is it something that we need to pay attention to? Is it the same thing as universalism?
Yeah. Well, first, this term refers to the idea that the whole world is included in Christ. Now, that can mean about 10 things to 10 different people, but let me just share a few flavors of it. The idea is that the whole world is included in Christ. The whole world is included benefiting from the work of Christ. The whole world is therefore saved in some sense. The whole world is therefore forgiven in some sense. But it gets trickier than that, Bob, because what they end up doing, this theological position actually has two realities to it. Just hang on. You'll have to, I know you already know all about it, but for our listeners out there, it's like saying, you know, this shirt is red, but this shirt is also not red. In other words, there's two realities that these folks believe in. So that's why a person can be objectively saved, but not subjectively saved. And so they think it's real scholarly. They call it better thinking. It's more Eastern to believe this sort of stuff. And so they run around with two opposing views that are, you know, compatible in their minds. You know, literally the whole world is saved, but literally the whole world is not saved at the same time. So my point is, it's you run in circles and it's literally chaos as you try to dialogue with these folks. Because they've created two realities. They hate the idea of calling it universalism. They'll deny that, say, oh, no, I'm not a universalist. I don't believe in universal salvation. I just think the work of Christ has been applied to the whole world. Well, wait, you just said you weren't universalist. So it's almost like a who's on first routine as you go round and
round
with these guys. And bottom line is, I would say folks that are pushing a Trinitarian view that has nothing to do with the Trinity at all, but this Trinitarian inclusion viewpoint, I would say run for the hills. The gospel is just real simple. It's much simpler than they're making it. The gospel is basically this: we are saved by grace through faith, period. And by grace means that the whole world is offered this by grace. It's free. It's a free gift to the whole world. Whosoever will call upon the name of the Lord. So we're saved by grace, and that grace is offered to everybody, but it's through faith. And so that means a response is needed. So, you know, the simple viewpoint that is the true one could be summed up this way. God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. That's part one. He did the work. It's done for the whole world. And then part two is, we beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. So a response is required. In reconciliation, there are two parties. It takes two to tango, so to speak. And so these guys who are saying that it just takes one person, that God is going to force everyone into salvation, that is not what the Scripture teaches. And so I would encourage anyone who is interested in this sort of Trinitarian universalism or inclusion viewpoint to go back to their Bibles, reconsider what they're hearing, and literally run for the hills and seek the truth that sets us free.
Yeah, we don't need to complicate this. And I think you and I were talking at the beginning. It would just be so much simpler if we just stuck with what the Bible has to say instead of projecting into it.
Yeah.
A theological position. One of the things that I've struggled with as far as inclusionism is concerned is the definition of faith. You know, if we're all already included, what is faith? Well, it's simply the awareness that you're included. And, you know, there's no talk about really being born again. You know, there's a moment in time when we're born again of the Spirit of God and we're added to the body of Christ. In those passages, you know, you must be born again, just lose their meaning in light of that conversation. And there's also really no need for the resurrection. It simply puts the resurrection in a place of being a rubber stamp for the deity of Christ or something like that. There's no real practical purpose for the resurrection, that we've been given new life. We've been raised to walk in the newness of life. So I think if we just read what the Bible has to say and stick with what the Bible has to say, I think this is all just going to make just perfect sense to us.
Yeah, and you know, just a final thought here, Bob. You know, some of these guys, not all of them, but some of these guys that are pushing inclusion ideas, some of them are former Calvinists, and they came to a point where they hated the idea of limited atonement, that Jesus only died for some people. And so they overreacted and went over into this Jesus has saved everybody. And what I would say to them is, hey, you know what? There's another way to think of this. It's real simple. Jesus died for the sins of the whole world. And yet also, there's a choice we make. And when we make that choice to receive him, we are preserved. There is preservation of the saints. So, you know, there's the idea of choosing to believe and responding to the gospel. And then after that, as you said, we're born again. We've got eternal life, not temporary life. So we're preserved forever. So what I'm afraid is it's like people think, oh, I've got to be Calvinist or I've got to be Arminian and there's no other thing. And so then we end up off the rails in something of our own invention, ultimately. And the gospel is just simple. We don't need two realms. We don't need two realities. We don't need Eastern thought. We don't need any of that. It's just plain common sense. God did something great for you. Do you want it? Well, if you want it, receive it. And yes. If you receive it, you've got it, period. So end of story.
Yeah.
I think we can say amen to that.
Well, you know, you guys get rolling, and it's so good. I hate to even interrupt with other things, but there are a couple of things I want to mention right now. Of course, Bob Christopher, Andrew Farley, I'm Bob Davis, and we thank you for joining us. I want you to keep in mind, friends, that you can take Basic Gospel with you wherever you go with the Basic Gospel app. Like all apps, of course, you'll find it in the App Store. Basic Gospel app, we'd like to go with you. The other big thing, we're kind of firing off the fireworks right now between now and July 11th with the July Freedom Sale. As I said, between now and July 11th, everything in our store is 50% off. Check it out at basicgospel.net. Just click the resources menu and then store, and then you'll find it all right there. That's store, resources at Basic Gospel. And
that not only includes our materials, some things that I have written and Richard and I have produced together through CD series and that sort of thing, but we also have a number of Andrew's books.
Yes.
So those are all on sale through Basic Gospel. Andrew, you've written 6 books and all just wonderful, very insightful, very clear, very, very easy to understand. And if you were listening and you want any of these resources, they're all available through our store, basicgospel.net.
Yes, indeed. Well, it's a great place to go and find the resources you need to undergird your understanding of the freedom and the love and the grace and the life that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, speaking of longtime friends, this is one from Lucy who writes to us from San Diego, and it's very short and sweet. She says, please comment on 1 John 2:28.
All right. Well, you know, Bob, this is an epistle that is written to folks who really need some correction. I mean, they're being influenced by all kinds of heresies that are surrounding them. One of those heresies is this idea of Gnosticism, that there's some sort of secret knowledge out there and that, you know, sin doesn't matter and sin is not real and all that business. And so you get down to verse 28 and it says, dear children, continue in him. So that when he appears, we may be confident and unashamed before him at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone who does what is right has been born of him. So they're distinguishing fake believers from true believers. There's a distinction here between false teaching and good, solid teaching. There's a talk about the anointing, which is real, not counterfeit. That's what this chapter is really distinguishing, light from darkness, truth from error, those who are in Adam from those who are in Christ. And what I would say on this continue verse, because there's several of them, there's one in Colossians as well. What he's saying is keep on keeping on, keep on hearing truth, keep on walking by faith, keep on keeping on in your fixing your eyes on Jesus, because he's going to come back. And when he does, you know, there's this confidence we can have. We don't have to shrink back or walk in shame. But I think the confusion is, oh, my goodness, am I going to, you know, is there a chance that if I don't keep on keeping on as a believer, could I lose my salvation or could I lose my status before him? And I don't really think that's anything on the mind of John here. I think what he's saying is, first of all, we're all on a path. I don't know who's going to read this letter. Some of you are believers. Some of you are unbelievers. Some of you are on your way to believing. Some of you have heard 5 minutes of the gospel. Some of you have heard 5 hours of the gospel. My goodness, some of you have been in the truth for 5 weeks now. So there's so many different readers of this. Wherever you are at, continue in him. Wherever you are at, continue listening, continue hearing the truth and believing it. At some point, each of you will be born again, and some of you already are, But the point is, behavior matters, attitudes and actions matter, and so walk in truth.
Absolutely.
So that we don't have anything that's going to be disappointing. And
Absolutely.
Guys, you know, all of that has to come from Christ living in us.
Thank you, Andrew, for those thoughts. And friends, once again, we want to say thanks to the many of you who stand with us month by month to keep the good news on the air. We hope you can continue to help as we move forward. It's your gifts that make this ministry possible. Just click donate at basicgospel.net or phone your gift to 844-322-2742. And to say thanks for your help this month, we're going to send you our new CD series called Be a Voice. Again, that's 844-322-2742 or donate at basicgospel.net. Well, thanks for joining us for this edition of Basic Gospel, everybody. Now for Bob Christopher, for Richard Piper, Andrew Parley, and the ministry team, Bob Davis saying God bless you. We'll be back tomorrow. I hope you'll join us. Bye-bye.